1-900-WRESTLING is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900WRESTLING. That is where you can support this show. And, of course, the cause of hashtag DillsToMania. If you are not familiar, and this is the first time that you are listening to this show, then I went and bought floor seats for WrestleMania, but I only have enough money for mine. So if Dills wants to go to WrestleMania, then we've got to do it right here on the Patreon. All of our money will go to it. But I'll tell you what, it's not just supporting the show. It is also getting access to our Patreon-only Discord. That is where you can, and as we did last night, man, it was an amazing, fun, private chat with all the fans of this show. We had a great time watching an Elimination Chamber, as we do with Raw and SmackDown. So go ahead and check it out, patreon.com/1900WRESTLING. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody but nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900-WRESTLING.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
And here we go. We had a hell of an Elimination Chamber last night, and that is what brings us in. My name is Justin Robert Young, and of course, joining me as always is Willie Dills Gregory. How you doing, Willie?
Dude, I'm pumped. I'm ready. Road to WrestleMania. It's being solidified, and this is the dawn of a new era.
It is.
The WWE.
New champions.
I can't remember who said it, but they're terrified of our new champion and apparently the power he's going to wield.
I know.
Now.
I don't know if you could be terrified while simultaneously chanting, "You deserve it." But we're going to do our best to siphon off those feelings, separate it from each other. But to talk about such an amazing night last night, we can only bolster up by bringing you the host of the source of all things professional wrestling, Andrew Zarian, host of Mat Men, good friend and a good brother. Andrew, how are you doing?
We're all good brothers here. I'm doing terrible. I'm extremely unprepared for this. I'm in a studio with microphones and I can't use any of them right now because we're recording a show while I'm doing this. My dog is barking. My kid is crying in our crib. And my father that's babysitting the baby just broke the baby monitor.
Oh, like in his hand? He just crushed it?
In his hand. No, he dropped it. He was walking away with it, and the whole thing just exploded in his hand. So,
yeah.
Today's been a very good Monday.
So let me if you have not listened to Andrew's stuff, number one, you absolutely should. Guys from Queens Network. But also, you would describe yourself as a neurotic person, right? Like this is going to be something that you're going to have to get over. We're going to have a good show to get you in any kind of headspace to be useful here.
No, this is going to be a great show. I'm ready. I'm prepared. But I'm really you stayed over my house one day.
I went
to Ring of Honor, and you realize I'm out of my freaking mind.
Yes. Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. You are a legit crazy person. But I think that's what we need on this show now, because you're new WWE. Is it heavyweight champion? Is just WWE champion now?
It's technically the WWE and heavyweight champion combined into one. So they do say WWE, but you don't have to.
I think it changes. I mean, like whether or not I'm right now,
I was
wrong 3 weeks
anymore,
ago, and I was right two weeks after that.
Sure.
I could have sworn they called it the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
When he won the title, they said World Heavyweight Champion.
He is the World Heavyweight Champion. His name is...
You also have to say WWE, too. You used to just say the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
Now it's WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
His name is Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, also a new women's champion.
And an actual heavyweight.
And an actual heavyweight, man. He's got some girth on him.
AJ Styles had it sounded a little weird. Yeah, that heavyweight part.
And of course, Naomi is your new women's champion. Do we want to run through the card, or do we want to just skip around?
I mean,
I think we might as well run through the card, because it wasn't that many matches.
It wasn't a huge card. No, yeah. No. I think there's plenty of time. Like I think we can skip the pre-show match. That was fine. That happened. That
Mojo,
was that
yeah, Mojo versus Curt Hawkins.
Sure. The battle for Zach's love.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was a match that that certainly puts to the test the idea that SmackDown is doing everything right, as the internet would say.
But you know what? It was fine. Like it was a fine.
Oh, it's fine. They're good.
WWE
they're good.
WWE match.
And really, and, I think to be honest, what I think is probably one of the strengths of SmackDown is that when they have a bad idea that does not connect, they don't ram it down our throats for 4 months pretending like it's. The best thing ever, and I think that's listen. Curt Hawkins is really talented. That gimmick obviously went nowhere, and they haven't
his
made
ring
it
gear
a gigantic
is awkward
thing
to me right now. To be honest, it was a great match for me to finish making my tacos to get ready for the main show. So
I have a soft spot for Curt Hawkins. He's from my neighborhood. He's from Bayside, Queens.
Oh,
so,
he is.
And his tights, his I don't know about these ones, but the ones that he wore before with the Mets colors. I mean, they're still Mets colors, but yeah. my buddy Darren from the 7 line makes his ring gear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. That I grew up with. It's actually really funny how that worked. But I was really rooting for him. I got a soft spot, and I'm like, you know, shout out to our boy Curt Hawkins on Twitter. And everyone's like, why? He sucks. He's the worst. I'm like, if I got to pick somebody over, like Mojo or him, I'm picking Curt.
Yeah, although Mojo gets us closer to Rob Gronkowski at WrestleMania, so there is that we can always hope. So let's get into the main card. Open grudge match, Becky Lynch versus a returning Mickey James. Becky comes out on top. Good match, I liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. Another one that I was just, I didn't really know what to expect from here, and I don't think they got much time to do much cool stuff, but what they did was good, and I think it's pushing forward their story, and I think a lot of people were surprised that Mickie James didn't win, but I didn't really see there being a reason for either one to be, you know, they must get the victory here. I thought it was kind of one of those matches that either one could win, and it would still push the storyline forward, so.
Yeah, I enjoyed seeing, you know, Mickie James's first SmackDown match, I guess, you know, for this generation, this run that she had. She looked great, you know, for someone that was out for so long from the company. She kind of fits in really well. And I'm curious as to what they're going to do with this. I see it kind of leading into some sort of split between Alexa and Mickie.
Alexa and Mickie, yeah.
Yeah, and that becomes the big feud.
Well, because she either has to get a new theme song or turn face, right?
It's like, too happy.
I know. Well, it's Hey Mickey, You're So Fine, right? Like, you know, it's like no one's like, boo, like, screw you, Hey Mickey, You're So Fine. I'll tell you what, though. This match was good. For me, it wound up paling in comparison to the other two women's matches, which is odd because you would think going in that Becky Lynch and Mickie James, fan favorites, great people, great workers, certainly. But to me, the best women's match on the card, we'll kind of skip around a little bit, was Natalya of Nikki Bella, which I thought was great. I thought it was brutal. Like it looked, all of a sudden they're just doing these like, you know, Okada Omega spots on the side of the ring, you know, like
superplex off the top. Yeah, there was some good stuff in there, and I saw other people say this on Squared Circle after the match, but Nikki Bella's STF looks way more brutal than John Cena's. I enjoyed it too. I was a little bit when the ending happened. I was like, no, but that feeling, the fact that I was like, nothing's getting resolved is, you know, they got me, right? So
yeah, I think that has more to do with they have 7 weeks of television between now and WrestleMania. Like, and that can be a main event for them now. They can
Was invested. Like, clearly I was actually invested in a feud that, you know, 3 weeks ago I was kind of like, okay, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden, by the time the match actually comes around, I was rooting for people, you know. I was like, yeah, get her. Get that bitch, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's great. I mean, they actually made something really great out of that feud. I was into it.
What do you think, Zarian?
I like what they've done. I'm curious to see where it's going to lead. I mean, we kind of know, right? If you read the spoilers, you kind of know where it's leading. But I'm curious to see where this leads for Natty.
Shame. I mean, obviously, listen, the guy's in really you know, poor health by any reports. But it is a shame that you know, Tyson Kidd is injured, because that's, I mean, for everybody, of course, we're referring to the now rumored and possibly the beginnings of the setup happened last night during the backstage brawl after the Natty-Nikki Bella match. There's a run-in to Maryse, who dumps makeup all over herself.
The only thing I could think of was, why does Maryse need to carry so much cocaine on her?
I know! Come on!
And first of all, that was the only explanation, because there's no good human being in this world walking around with that much powder.
Well, I mean, listen, Andrew, when you're flying private, it really doesn't matter. You can just go ahead and carry the whole stash. It's not like you're worried about TSA. You're just pulling right up to the tarmac.
Someone has to be the source for the rest of the roster, right? So
yeah, let it be Maryse.
But let me ask you this, because everybody is, and this might be leading into. You know what? I'm just gonna add this. I'm gonna add this to our segment later. So I'll come back to it. But let's go ahead and get to probably the most head scratching match of the night. Dolph Ziggler, heel, evil, Rudo. Dolph Ziggler in a handicap match against Apollo Crews and Kalisto. To be fair, I like this match more than I thought I was going to, because it was a very...
Everybody did. I did too.
It was kind of a puzzling thing to make your new bad guy in the, like, oh, can he beat two people at once thing? But the way they handled the Kalisto stuff was great. The problem is that people just are so excited to see Dolph Ziggler doing something other than what he was doing, that it doesn't. He can just go ahead and he can recreate the Piss Christ art installation live in the center of the ring, and people would be chanting, "You deserve it, thank you, Ziggler."
And the issue that I had too with it is, they want to see him doing something other than what he was doing. Well, what he was doing was losing, and now he's still losing. What is happening here? What's okay? Does he now then get conflicted about his new attitude? Is this working for me? I don't really know where this is. But, I mean, sure. The thank you Ziggler chant as he's attempting to end a man's career, who's just just a nice guy. Right?
And also, I thought that was the beginning of that match. I would have liked it if Kalisto had stayed down the entire match and then maybe come out at the end, because that was the first time that I felt really good about Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews coming down and saying,
"This is his debut."
Yeah, like, and saying, "No, you want to know what? Enough! Like, I'm gonna settle this right now." I thought that was great for Apollo Crews, and then at the end, poor Apollo. You're right, Phoenix, bloodthirsty animals in Phoenix. Thank you, Ziggler.
What baffled me was that they booked him as the comeuppance babyface in this. You got these two guys beating up on him. He's the heel, which is such backwards booking when you look at how handicap matches are done. And he loses, obviously, because it's a handicap match. And, I don't know how they're going to tell the story that he beat two guys like this. But at the end, he kills both of them.
Yeah. Well, one was injured. Because he came in.
Screen.
He was already hobbling. Kalisto and his Hawaiian fire twirler outfit, were injured at the very beginning. So he was only half a man by the end of it. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm curious where this is going, I guess, is my question. It's just if they're just going to have Ziggler keep losing forever and ever, then I don't know what we're doing here. Like, I don't mind him losing forever and ever when it was the storyline of, he's got to figure it out. He's got to turn this around. He's got to, but now he did the thing to turn it around and didn't turn anything around. So I don't know. Now, I guess we're in uncharted territory, which is maybe cool. Maybe something really awesome that I haven't thought of happens, and that could be fun.
It feels to me that they're just keeping Ziggler hot, that they have something else that they want to do with him.
That could be too. Because,
and they literally just want to, because he still gets a reaction when he walks out. People want to see him. People are invested in him. So instead of just, taking him off TV, you just give him something to keep him hot, and then they'll do something with him later.
Well, we had this conversation actually on the 1-900 Wrestling Discord, where people were saying that they wish Apollo Crews would get something good, to which my response was, well, he's really young, and there's a lot of people, and you can't give everyone something good right now because there's just not enough space on TV, well, right? Yeah, to give everybody something good.
Because if everybody gets something good, then
Ziggler
it's not special.
Stay hot while not really doing much. If they can just kind of keep this going for a little while until there's time.
The Ziggler for me has been that they've tried it so many times, and then they get cold feet when it starts working, and they pull back again, and then they want to try it again. You know, the guy at the time that he, you know, 2011, when he was getting that initial big push, you know, he was unique. There was something interesting about him. And then the company deemed him reckless, and the company deemed him a liability because he was injury prone. And then that was it. You know, and now you have 5,000 of what, you know, what he was capable of. At the time, you didn't have a lot of that. You didn't have this talent like Sami Zayn. Now, that's something special that he had is kind of out the window because wrestling has kind of evolved.
Talking about another gigantic, I'll tell you what, here's the one thing about SmackDown. For all anybody wants to say about, oh, land of opportunity, how about the land of getting people the hell out of the ring when they've been eliminated from competition? Because that was the story of the night. Ziggler beats the living shit out of people before and after the match. The tag team turmoil match was almost set on its ear with the Usos deciding to take out American Alpha before the Ascension came in. And, of course, Elimination Chamber, you know, you have to put a taser on Baron Corbin to get him out. But let's stay on the tag team turmoil match. This, to me, was the coronation of American Alpha as, like, full 80s, you know, they might as well have had Zubaz pants and flat tops, you know, just baby faces, right? This is them as you know, neon tight WCW Steiner brothers.
They truly beat the odds here.
They overcame the odds.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because Squared Circle is the most fickle of mistresses to all things wrestling. I could swear like 3 weeks ago, everybody loved these guys. All of a sudden now is, oh, Super American Alpha, oh, whatever. We'll save it for the next segment when I think of that. But
they're young. They're like, you know, I guess what Jason Jordan's maybe a little
young,
older.
They're exciting in the ring.
Yeah.
And actually, their promo on Talking Smack after was really, it was good. They felt like genuine there. I guess some people just are concerned that the rest of the division is getting buried or something, like, you know, and I actually did think for a second Ascension, they were just going to give it to Ascension and have us just hate the Ascension, right? Like that they cheated their way to it, which I would have been all for as well. I was, you know, I'm not like a huge Ascension fan, but lately with their new makeup and their new, they seemed to be a little more aggressive. I'm all for it. So, but I was not upset. I don't understand being upset about who wins these matches so much. It's to me, it was fun. There's a lot of cool spots. I love their finisher. So when they hit it and the way they did, and Jason Jordan, like, diving over the pin to stop, who was it? Was it Connor who was out? Who was outside? I can't remember. But to stop him from getting back in to break up the pin, it was all great. They all did a great job.
No, it was perfect. I actually, for a second, thought that the drug dealer Usos were going to get it.
Yeah,
sure.
Because that's their gimmick, so, right?
By the way.
How do you think Maurice got that much coke?
Yeah, I'm from San Francisco. There are guys who look exactly like them. You know, they're from San Francisco, too. Like, I grew up with guys who dressed like them, walked like them, were Samoan guys who you were just, like, super scared of. And so their gimmick is working so well on me, like, on a human level.
Oh, no, they're legitimately level, terrifying.
I mean, to me, I just envision them pulling up in a 96 Maxima to every arena.
Oh, no, with the system keyed up so much that the fenders rattling.
They, like, just open their trunk at every opportunity to show off their system. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I actually thought for a second they might put the titles on the Usos. I actually like this gimmick. People like the crap on them, but I like that one got a little heavier than the other one, and it's a little different. You know, they're not these identical twins anymore. There's a little bit more character and change amongst them. I thought the titles would go on them. But when it was the Ascension and American Alpha, I thought Ascension was going to get it.
But then they told the story effectively. I mean, I think the only question that I have going forward, and again, they got 7 weeks of television to set it up, is what's the match at Mania for them? You know, like,
well, you brought up something interesting, which I'd thought of before as well, which was that SmackDown tag team has essentially a grudge match against the Raw.
I would love, in a two brand world, I would love for the WrestleMania match with the tag team titles to be Raw versus SmackDown, and it's
unify them.
or not, or just make it, this is a grudge match, and so now you get to set up, you know, in the weeks leading up to Mania, now those matches mean something, because it's, you're on to WrestleMania if you have the titles by the time that you go into it, right? And like, I don't know. Also, I would really like to see American Alpha versus the Bullet Club. I think that that would be a fun match.
That would be a really good match. Absolutely. Yeah. It was funny though, because after on Talking Smack, they were asking what your career, like your aspirations are, and they were saying a tag team match is the main event of Mania. And to be honest, with the tag teams coming up from NXT, I'm not saying it'll be main event, but you can see it pushed up the card quite a bit. There's going to be some real talent, then it's all going to be in one place, and it's going to be tough. Like, because there's always kind of been this thing where there's the primos and epicos, right? Which are actually good wrestlers, but just never really get anything going. But at some point, you're going to have, you know, DIY and the Revival, and all these teams are all going to be kind of competing. And how do you hold back that much talent without splitting them all up into like singles matches and having tag team breakup angles? I don't know.
I'm not, you know, this is all, you know, I'm talking out of my butt speculation. I do not think that DIY is long for.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
I think that they both, you know, could. They're very obviously single stars.
But I really enjoy tag matches now. Like, it was something that when I was younger, there was just the formulaic tag match, I think. And now, while there is still the hot tag and a few things like that, they've really taken it to a whole new level where it's almost like, you know, when you watch these triple threats or fatal four ways or whatever it may be, and the timing is just so good when you watch like these guys kind of have their moment, each guy like one after another, they're laying out on the side, and then all of a sudden they're back just for that one time when they hit that, like, but the timing of some of these DIY Revival matches and just what they were pulling off, it's super exciting wrestling. So I would not mind seeing some of that stuff pushed up the card quite a bit, to be honest.
Isn't it amazing how much tag team wrestling has changed from the time that we were kids? I mean, my first impression was, you know, Demolition and LOD, these giant, you know, hams just colliding with one another.
Yeah. No selling, colliding.
The powers of pain. Yeah. Nobody's selling anything. No, they're just colliding. Yeah. That's all it is. And now we have guys, you know, like American Alpha that are the real thoroughbred athletes doing unbelievable things. I mean, first of all, I think that's the argument for wrestling as a whole. I think this is the best era of wrestling that we've ever had as far as pure athleticism. But it I really enjoyed that gauntlet. Did they call it a gauntlet or they call
tag
it something
team
else?
Turmoil.
Tag team turmoil.
That's what it was. But it was a gauntlet match, essentially.
It is, yeah.
I really had fun watching it. The people that were here with me watching it, they were all having fun watching it. So when non-wrestling fans get into it, you know that, okay, there's something cool happening.
Yeah.
Alexa versus Naomi. Women's championship on the line. And indeed, we did see. I thought that they had retired the rear view, but I was excited to see the rear view as a.
I'm glad it's not her finisher though.
Exactly,
because it never looked good as a finisher. Like it never looked like the impact was going to keep somebody down for a three count. So, but it's okay. I mean, Asuka uses essentially a rear view, right? That's, you know, it looks a little more brutal.
No. It's a hip attack. Although she slaps her butt.
Well,
after she
hits you
with it.
Juicy booty, like Naomi. So,
bubble butt.
Yeah.
Alexa versus Naomi. Naomi wins with the split-legged moonsault.
Yes, which is a pretty sweet move. That's a much better finishing move. And even though she kind of missed it, it actually looked like it still hurt real bad because it looked like it turned into essentially it looked just like a kick to the midsection.
It did, yeah. It looked weird. Hey, by the way, Andrew Zarian, one of the best newsmen here in the business, breaking news to me personally in the Skype that – holla, 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 playa. Teddy Long, going in to the WWE Hall of Fame, joins the class of Kurt Angle and the Rock and Roll Express, or the Express that rock and rolls, as Matt Hardy would say. good for Teddy Long. I mean, and that's also getting, you know, he's been a company guy for. Yeah, you know, he had a hell of a run there with the WWE, right?
Like, and WCW. I mean, WCW, he was a major player in WCW for many, many years.
Apparently, Mondays are the best day to find out who the newest inductee is, and get that out there.
Well, because they go to their friendlies and they feed them, so they can say, "Oh my God, it was broken today by insert media source." Like it's like, okay, yeah, you told the media source, so you know you can do it. But no, good for him.
Oh, how dare they scoop us?
Yeah, and you know now he indeed can go one on one with the Undertaker. Anything else to say about Naomi Alexa? I feel like
I thought it was a fine match. There was a couple of funky spots, but I don't think it was. I think Naomi is prone to that just because she does some pretty crazy stuff. You know, she's known as the most athletic woman on the roster, but and she's got a lot of those kind of gymnast style moves, which is fine because it totally fits her character at this point. But I really enjoyed it, and I liked Naomi. Look, I'm an Alexa Bliss fan, unabashedly. So I was rooting for Alexa, but Naomi got her big moment, and they really gave her a moment. They had, you know, she cut a promo afterwards, and she got some nice chants, and I thought it was great. It was she's been working hard for a long time, right? And she worked on her gimmick, came back, got it over. Hell yeah,
yeah,
good for her.
Let's remember for a minute that she was a Funkadactyl.
Indeed.
That's right. She was a Funkadactyl. She was a side dancer. Yeah.
Yep. And now she's the women's champion. So, I mean, that shows tremendous growth as a character and as a professional wrestler. And you know what? She deserves it, really. It's something different. I like that they're changing this title picture. I like that, you know, now she's the main champion and you got all these different people involved. You got to keep it fresh, especially in that SmackDown roster, which it's kind of limited compared to Raw. But the roster itself is going at 120% with everything that they're doing, so it's meaning as much as Raw's doing stuff.
Every SmackDown woman seems like they should be a contender for the title. There's no just kind of this girl's like a mid card whatever. She's a jobber as part of that. Like that SmackDown roster of women they all should be vying for it at all times. I think so. It'll probably hot potato a little bit, to be honest, for a while.
Yeah. I would also just a hashtag Alexa Bliss appreciation thread. If you look at where she is compared to where, let's say, like AJ Lee was, who had a similar body type, I think that she is far more believable. That you have to work really, really hard, and the person that's working with you has to work really, really hard to legitimize the fact that you are, you know, a 80-pound termite, right? And that you should be taken as a physical threat. But I really like her intensity. You know, she feels a lot meaner than AJ Lee did. And like even little things like she bounces off the ropes a little bit better. It doesn't just look like, you know, a gentle
That's
breeze.
Always one of the issues with women's wrestling to me is that, you know, it's like that when they bounce off the ropes and stuff, it just looks like there was no actual bounce
just
back
against the wall. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that a lot of these women are doing now, they're really kind of learning how to work within the same size ring as the men who are just gigantic, and still make it look good. And yeah, you're right. Alexa is for a very small, for a killer pixie, she's making it look good, man. She's making her stuff look like it's hurting. So yeah, I agree. She'll be back, man. She will be back. She just had a bad day. She got a bad night's sleep. And,
oh
you know,
yeah, I haven't seen the talking smack thing, but okay, everybody was in love with her blaming the weather for
the weather was bad. It was just loss. You know,
and that brings us to the Elimination Chamber. The eliminations were what? It was Baron Corbin out first.
Corbin was first out after getting rolled up by Dean Ambrose, but Baron Corbin was the monster for the entire time he was in, and even after
all 5 minutes, and then he also beat the living hell out of Dean Ambrose. That softens him up to get eliminated. Miz gets eliminated before that.
I think he hit like three end of days, to be honest, like right before that. And then he end of days Dean Ambrose, and Ambrose laid there for a good minute and still took a pin from the Miz.
Yeah,
that's how strong that move is.
You know, they did something very interesting there. If you looked at it, they kept the feud going between Miz and Dean, but they also started Dean Ambrose and Corbin.
Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, the star of the night, eliminating both AJ Styles and John Cena with Sister Abigail. It is Bray Wyatt. Let me ask you something, because obviously this now sets up officially Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, because Randy comes out and stares and they share a look. But it didn't really – it wasn't made clear 100%, but I think if you're someone who reads, you know,
yes,
on the internet about wrestling, you know,
that's at least the story as of now is that, right?
He didn't come out and, like, you know, do like this and congratulate, like, yeah, you did it. It was more of a, oh, okay, now I guess we're crossing paths kind of.
Bray's going to be the good guy, right? Is Bray the one we're rooting for?
He's, I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, he was working his face at the end of the match, wasn't he? Right? So
sure seemed like it. Sure seemed like AJ was working as the heel. Andrew, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm curious how this plays out. You know, do you want to see Bray keep the title or do you want to see Randy win the title? I mean, I don't know what the majority of people are going to want. I would love to see Bray, you know, not be a transitional champion and hang on to this title and, you know, well deserved by him. He was Husky Harris and now he's, you know, WWE champion. It's the same argument as she was a Funkadactyl and now she's a women's champion.
Yeah, but this is even crazier because he went in the tank and found a character after they literally said, basically, like, we're just going to let you go because this isn't working. So come up with something. And then he came up with like the greatest character. Obviously, I mean, he's a little bit of a throwback character as well, but most characters are based on something, right? So,
yeah, but what
he's done with it is insane.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you know, it's got range. He can go just kind of, you know, creepy serial killer. He can go supernatural Papa Shango. He can, and this is the gear that we haven't seen, is super baby face, you know, like, stop taking me for granted. I'm going to destroy the machine kind of guy. And I'm curious to see where
he's also kind of taking it into a direction now. It's kind of like loving father, trying to keep his sons together. Right. Type of thing, which has been kind of a funny, you know, it's really, he's taken a character that didn't have to continue to evolve.
Yeah.
And actually continue to evolve it, right? Like, the look has evolved, the way he's cutting promos has evolved. Because he could have just kept doing the promos he was doing when he first got to the main roster. He could have kept doing those forever and people would still talk about how great they were. But he's just continued to evolve the character. And like we've talked about on the show before, he's one of those guys who didn't need a belt to stay, like, interesting and relevant. But now you're just really happy that he did finally get the belt, and it's the biggest belt, right? So this is huge.
Well,
I think everybody's happy to see this happen. He's a good worker. He deserves it, and I can't think of any reason for him not to have the title.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the way that AJ ragdolled for that last Sister Abigail made it look like he, you know, you just got shot. It was great. It was amazing. And I would love to see an extended feud with the two of them, but.
You're talking about I think it's a foregone conclusion on Squared Circle that they did this backwards and now, oh no, this means Randy Orton's going to win at WrestleMania. I really don't think so. I think they could definitely have Bray go in and hold the title against Randy I think that's a fine continuation of the storyline as well, because there's plenty to do after that. And if Randy wins, that's also fine too.
Well, I think it just depends. It depends on where you go. Because to me, the most exciting thing that I could think of is now, and it really depends on where they want to go with Luke Harper, but the way to turn Bray Wyatt face to me is to have the family turn against him, right?
Sure.
And now, for all intents and purposes, Randy Orton is the head of this crew, and they're destroying him, right?
Well, what do you think? So, like, Rowan comes back, and then Orton, like, recruits.
Well,
Harper,
sure.
And then they're all.
I mean, it's now. It's like, well, we never needed him, and so now we turn against him, yada yada yada. And now, of course, you're going to root for him. But it just shows you the dichotomy of how many places they can go when, mm-hmm. you know, it's everybody goes crazy when he wins. And the announcers, JBL, screaming, well, hell's come to SmackDown. Hell has opened up. We're all terrified. And it's like, I don't know, man. People seem really excited about this. People seem really pumped.
People seem really excited about it. It was. Would you say it was one of the best Elimination Chambers they've done?
You know,
yeah.
Elimination Chamber has kind of been a black spot in my wrestling history because it was invented after I stopped watching and they were fading it out when I started watching again. So really the only other Elimination Chamber pay-per-view I saw was when they did it like as a WWE network exclusive couple years ago.
With Undertaker. No, what was it before? I forgot what it was.
We had the really bad one with all the botches where Ziggler was like calling spots in the middle of the match.
That one.
That was
yeah,
a few years ago.
Yeah.
But if you go back and watch, I think it's like the first one and the second one. Those are insane. Definitely, you should, on the network, go check those out if you haven't watched those. I went back and watched some of it just because I'm the same way as you, Justin. Like, it was kind of, that was the period where I was getting kind of bored and bailed from wrestling for a while, right? And then kind of came back in, and it was an established thing.
Yeah.
You know, that just, we have, this is one of the things every year. But yeah, I think, personally, this was... And I think there's a few reasons why this was maybe one of the best ones. I think the storytelling was fantastic. And I also think the changes they made to the Elimination Chamber itself allowed them to do more things that they in the past could not do.
Right? All right.
People will lose their minds over that.
Hold on, Andrew. That brings us in to our new segment here on 1-900 Wrestling. What we try to do is talk about our favorite elements of the product. However, we do not dare to criticize the creators. We instead criticize the criticizers in a segment we call Sit Down, Marks. Let's start with this one. Dills, what do you have to say to people who want to bitch about padding on the chamber?
Okay, so on our squared circle, after the match, there's all these people posting, man, I can't get into it with this padding on the chamber. It's just one of my favorite things. Was that when people would hit the chains and people would hit the floor, it looked brutal. And to those people I say, sit down, Marks. You need to shut up here. These are professional athletes doing amazing things for you. And what you are pissed about is that they're not getting hurt enough? Oh, my God. Like, I'm sorry. I cannot. That comment,
it's like,
I insta-downvote from here on out.
Here's the thing. Do you like how many times they went off the top of the pods? Because if you liked how many times they went off the top of the pods, then you like padding on the chamber.
Exactly.
Because that's why they did that.
They cannot do. You're not going to see freaking End of Days onto the chains. You're not going to see that stuff. It limits what they can do in the match. Guys are just out there trying not to kill each other. And now what we could do is we could actually have this mentality I will never understand. It's like, it's like the guy who goes, football sucks now because they don't kill each other. Like, they don't permanently like give each other brain damage now every single time they go out and play. It's like, you know what, dude? Sit down.
Sit down.
Like, just
sit down, Mark. How about this one?
Well, you know, it really, you know, it made The Miz look really weak because he got pinned with one AA from Cena. Hashtag Super Cena. Hashtag Miz buried.
Yeah, Miz got buried, right? That's exactly what happened in this match. Miz got totally buried. Yeah, okay. Miz was working perfectly as a heel. Miz was scared as hell of the Elimination Chamber. That's the entire time. That's the story that was being sold. He was out of his element. He was trying to find a way. He was the one who'd already been in one in the past, too, right? Like, Cena had been in a few.
Yeah.
But Miz had been in one before as well. A lot of these guys, this was their first ones. He understands. He knows the power of the Elimination Chamber. He was spooked, right? He goes out, and he does the heel thing where he takes advantage of another guy's, essentially, work. And then he gets kind of blindsided by an AA and gets knocked out. That's the story. Also, the story is the AA gets kicked out of all the friggin' time. So sometimes it's got to actually pin somebody from just one of them, or else that move is just always the weakest finisher in the business.
Marks. I saw a discussion in the Matman group, and it was exactly what you guys are describing. And somebody wrote this long, profound reasoning why they have the padded sides and how much better this cage is, and it's better for the workers, and they're able to do a lot more stuff instead of just taking one bump. And the epitome of the internet in one response: meh, don't care. That's what the guy writes. This guy wrote this. He went on a he posted like five paragraphs, and the guy goes, "Meh, don't care. Sucks anyway. Always sucks." And that was it. See, end of discussion.
These are the people where I'm just like, I'm not wasting my time with you anymore, well, yeah. You know?
Oh, no. We're spending time. We are spending time excoriating you, internet commentariat. How about this one? Oh, what a waste. Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maryse at WrestleMania. What a waste. Okay. Let me just go ahead and sit down, Mark, this argument by using a few other arguments.
Sit down, Justin.
I'm gonna use a few other arguments, because here's another one that I hear a lot. Oh, Cena, put new people over. Why is it always got to be Cena? Why does Cena always have to be the champion? Oh, okay. So now we're going to put him in a lower card thing? That's interesting. Oh, well, no, it's a waste. It's a waste of Cena. Oh, Miz has had a great year. Miz really deserves a big thing at WrestleMania. Oh, let's put him with John Cena at WrestleMania. Oh, sucks. Oh, what a waste. What a waste for Miz. Like, there's nothing you can do, especially if they wind up going with the Cena and Nikki proposal thing. That's a rumor, right? Like, let's say that happens. That's on Good Morning America. That is a gigantic major news thing that they can make a part of the biggest moment of the WWE calendar. There is
Plus, I think it's going to be super entertaining, by the way.
And also, what happens. It'll be John Cena and The Miz cutting promos on each other and Nikki and Maryse cutting promos on each other. Will it be the best match on earth? Probably not, right? But it's like...
But you know what? At WrestleMania, not every match is the best match on earth. That's the thing. It's people expect everything has to be this insane match. Like, we're still going to get... We're going to get, at least three like main event level matches this year at WrestleMania. Plus, we're still going to get the ladder match for the IC title. We're going to get all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
There was another one that I read. It goes, oh, WWE already has lost the battle against New Japan this year. They're not. They don't even have an answer for Okada Omega. I go, they're not even going to attempt an answer for Okada Omega. But, I mean, wrestling is subjective, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And what you may like, I may not like. But I come into it like a normal human being, and I go, you know what? You don't like The Miz. That's cool, but I get what he's doing. Like, I like him. You kind of, like, I kind of get it if you like something and I don't like it. It's all subjective. Whatever floats your boat. But the fact that people go, Miz sucks. It's over. He's ruining WrestleMania. Maryse is the worst. This is why I'm not watching WWE anymore. I'm going to go watch some local indie fed that draws 20 people.
But
you know what I say to them? Sit down and watch it, Mark. Like, I don't give a
sit
crap.
Down, Mark.
WWE doesn't give a crap either. I like that you brought up the answering New Japan, because the real key here is they don't have to answer New Japan, because WWE is just doing fine, right? And New Japan offers you essentially a different aspect of wrestling. And you get, this is the beauty of the modern world, I don't have to live in Japan to watch New Japan if I want to, right? So if that's what I prefer, I get to pay my $9.99 a month to them and watch that, right? And if I like all of it, then I can pay $9.99 to both and I can watch all of it. And it's great. And you have your choice. And that's fantastic. Because what WWE does, and I think what they're still trying to do, is build fantastic storylines and then have those be what happens at WrestleMania, not, crazy, ridiculous, like brain busters off the top rope or whatever.
Well, and also,
we don't have
here's,
to do all
here,
that.
Here is where WWE is competing with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, they're definitely on the radar now. For sure.
Well, no, this is where they're doing it. How much money they make from selling the product of professional wrestling. And Wrestle Kingdom was obviously lauded, and rightfully so. Fantastic event. Certainly solidifies the reputation of Okada, puts Kenny Omega on a level that he, you know, had previously not been, in making him, especially among the wrestling journalist community, probably the best guy working today. But how many people did they pack into the Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom? Do you know that offhand, Zarian?
Yeah, I was... I think the work number was 42,000, but I think from what I heard was a little under that. I think they were almost at 40,000 for this one.
And then 3 weeks later, WWE runs the Alamo Dome and and does like
52.
Yeah, 52. And that's, I'm sure, you know, slightly papered, but like they wound up doing the same thing. And that's their second biggest show. That's
and
not
by
their
the way,
biggest show.
You know, if WWE is trying to answer Okada Omega, they what they did when they answered it with the Cena Styles.
The Cena
right?
Styles,
that was them
was
trying
fantastic.
To answer it there, I think. I don't think that WrestleMania is their answering moment. I think they were.
Well, I mean, listen, here's what you realize when, you know, like last night when they start off that match, an Elimination Chamber match in a far small, it's a basketball arena, right? Basketball and hockey arena. You got the chant of "Let's go Cena, AJ Styles," right? When we were in the Alamo Dome and Cena Styles was happening, it was "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks," because a lot of the people that were there, they probably haven't seen AJ Styles before. To get that many people in a building to watch professional wrestling, you're getting a lot of people that probably don't watch weekly. You're getting a lot of people that just
they
kind
bought
of,
a shirt just because they knew they were going to the event.
They
and
just
then they're
knew,
like,
yeah.
all right, let's go.
And they
who's
remember
this
the
guy?
They remember the last time that they saw John Cena wrestle, the chant was, "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks." It's like that's the power that WWE has. So I'll tell you what, anybody else want to make a comparison? Sit down, Marks. That's just what we're saying. Okay, let's get into this. Here's one of our favorite bits on this show. Andrew, I'm so glad that you're here so you can play it along with us. We like to call it slow-mo promo. Dills, you want to set it up here?
Sure. So here's how this is going to work. So we've got seven slowed-down bits of promos from different wrestlers, all on the current roster, all currently on SmackDown, and every single one of these wrestlers did wrestle last night in the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Not necessarily in the Elimination Chamber match, but in the pay-per-view, right? So you can pull up the card if you want to give you a little bit of a cheat sheet here. What we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. So we'll have Andrew versus Justin here.
All right.
And Andrew, since you're our guest, we'll give you first crack on the first one.
Oh, boy.
So this gives you a slight advantage because, you know, there's seven total. You get 1 point if you can correctly identify whether they're a heel or a face.
Okay.
And then you'll get an extra point if you can actually tell us the wrestler. Now, the other person will get to respond if you get the wrestler wrong, but you won't get a point for heel or face at that point, right? So,
all right.
Heel or face, 1 point. Then you get a bonus point. The other person could steal that bonus point if they could tell us the actual wrestler afterwards, all right?
Okay. So do I say that it's a heel or face first, or I say...
Yeah, give us heel or face first, and then try to give us the actual wrestler. I'll keep diligent scorekeeping right here. But chat, you guys can play along if you want, but just, like, count to 10 before you put your answers in the chat so these guys don't...
I'll tell you what. Having heard a
These
few of them,
though.
I don't think we're going to have a problem with people spoiling things in the chat. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. All right, Andrew, this is your first clue.
Oh, man.
All right, here we go. One more time.
Okay. I'm going to go with a heel.
Okay, heel. That's 1 point for Justin.
Okay.
Or, sorry, Andrew. Excuse me.
It is a heel.
It is a heel. So that narrows it down, right?
And I'm going to go with Baron Corbin.
It is incorrect. I need a... That is actually Alexa Bliss.
Oh, my God.
calling someone a loser. I can't remember who it was. I think it was... Oh, man. Who was it? It was probably the last kicker.
Holy shit.
That was probably, I think, the promo from when... She was like saying, "I wasn't born a champion" or whatever, and then Alexa was saying, "Yeah, you were born a loser." I think that's what it was. None of these aren't all. Also, I should also point out, while the wrestlers wrestled last night, not all the promos
are from last night.
To,
sure,
yeah, but some of them are. Some of them are. All
Dills,
right, so that's 1 point though.
You are coming out. You're coming out throwing heat. I'm just letting you know. These are.
Oh, by the way,
I
screwed up. I forgot to give you a chance to respond, Justin. That's
fine.
Bad.
It's fine.
All right, I won't forget next time.
Here we go. This is mine.
This is for
Every
you.
Every night, I deliver.
All right, one more time.
Every night, I deliver.
That is a heel, And that is Mike Mizerian, The Miz.
That is incorrect. Oh! Andrew, would you like to respond?
I would like to respond. So you got the heel right.
You got the heel part correct.
Okay.
That's 1 point for Justin. It's tied 1-1 right now.
And it's not The Miz.
Not The Miz.
And I'm going to go with, God, who else is a heel? Baron Corbin.
Incorrect. All right. So that is actually Dolph Ziggler.
Every night I deliver.
God, you're right.
Every night I deliver. And actually, he said it twice in a row. And the first one would have been perfectly usable. But the second one, his voice completely cracks and it's hilarious. So,
is it crazy that I forgot he was on the card?
Hey, tell that to Callisto.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler, heel Ziggler on Twitter.
Hey, all right, big Twitter shout out.
This one goes to Andrew now, right?
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So how does it feel, Dave?
All right, one more time.
So how does it feel, Dave?
Okay. If you can figure out what is being said there, it may help.
Okay. So what I got from it was that his home is very filthy. That's what I got.
Wait, hold on, wait. I'm going to play it one more time.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it one more time. So you think that what is being said is your home is very filthy?
Your home is very filthy.
So how does it feel,
Dave? All right, I can hear it. All right, heel or face?
Let's go with a face.
That is incorrect, I'm afraid. All right, so now you know it's a heel. Who do you think it is?
It's a heel. And apparently his home, he's telling someone that his home is really filthy.
Mm-hmm. Which apparently is a face thing to say, according to Andrew.
According to me, it's a very, you go to your house, like, you know what? You got a really dirty house here.
Exactly.
I would say it's Bray Wyatt.
Ooh, no. Oh. No. But I like that guess, actually, now that I listen back to it. All right, Justin, you got a chance to steal.
So it is
a
heel.
Who this is.
It is a heel, right?
We know it's a heel, yeah.
I believe what is being said is, so how does it feel, babe? Which makes me think it's a lady, which makes me think it's Mickie James.
It's incorrect as well. It was, how does it feel, Dave? And it's Randy Orton talking to Dave Bautista a long, long time ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
Yeah, I thought, when I pulled that one, I was like, I think the Dave is fairly clear here. That might be the kicker that people get, because who else feuded with Dave Bautista, right?
So. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it sounded like a babe to me. All right, well, here we go.
So this one's for Justin,
this
right?
This is for me.
Okay.
Alright, here we go.
Alright. Heel or face?
It sounds like half of you ride the bus.
Whoa. Okay.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I feel like we're due for a face. I'm going to say face, but it sounds like a heel thing to say.
I'm sorry. It's not a face. It's a heel.
Oh, Jesus, Herbert.
All right. Who do you think it is?
Christ, Alito.
I mean, at this point, you've known that I've done Bliss, Ziggler, and Orton. They're off the table.
They're
right?
off the so table.
You can X them out. Yeah. Who's left?
Bray Wyatt.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes!
Wow, you got it.
Here we go. This is Bray Wyatt, apparently.
He's saying, slapping you right in the face. And
Happy you ride the bus is so much better.
Yeah, I know, right? That's clearly saying to the crowd, yeah, half of you ride the
you
bus.
Half of you ride the bus.
What a good heel, like, B-Town. Like promo to cut, like everybody in this arena takes the bus.
Oh, that's Flair, right? Yeah. That's a Flair promo, you know? Because yeah,
sure,
you know.
Sure. Well, I'm on my private jet. Woo!
Yeah.
All right. So the score now is 2-1. This is a close game, and we got three more to go here.
And this one goes to Andrew Zarian. Here is his clue.
I suck.
It's a short one. Here we go.
I suck.
You gotta listen real close to this one. You should give it to him one more time.
Right. Really, I hear I suck.
Yeah, one more time. Here we go.
I suck.
All right. Heel or face?
That's a face.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Now, who is it?
Dean Ambrose.
Wow. Dean Ambrose is incorrect.
Oh.
All right, Justin. Chance to steal.
I believe that it is John Cena.
That is correct. Yes. It is John Cena.
Does he say I suck? What does
he
say?
He said I suck. Yeah, because, okay, so this is funny because once he said, I think he's saying I suck, I was like, oh, Andrew's going to get it. He came out and it was something where he was saying, like, every night I come out here and I got to listen to all these people say I suck. And then, yeah.
No, so that's one of those vintage John Cena. The crowd's booing him out of the building and he starts dropping. Whenever he's unpopular, John Cena starts dropping his G's. So he's just like, like, a lot of y'all out there like to say, I suck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, both of you got a point on that one, so it's still a one-point game.
All right, this one's to me. Two.
So, Justin, this one goes out to you.
And that's me.
This is so soothing. Hold on, here we go.
And that's me.
You just put this on repeat and fall asleep at night.
So you're saying that's me, right?
And that's meat. So this is obviously PMS, Pretty Mean Sisters.
Pretty Mean Sisters.
All right, so by the way, we know that Bliss, Ziggler, Orton, Bray, and Cena are off the table, right? So heel or face, Justin?
It's a heel, and I believe it's Baron Corbin.
It is a heel. It is not Baron Corbin, so you still get a point. Andrew, you got a chance to steal here.
Okay. Could you repeat who's off the table?
Well, now we know Baron Corbin for this one is off the table.
Yeah.
But Bliss, Ziggler, Orton, Bray, and Cena are all off the table. And it is a heel.
And it is a heel.
And keep in mind, there were a lot of matches last night.
Mickey James.
Wow. That's a pretty good guess, because if you listen to it, I slowed it down, and it sounds like a very effeminate voice, doesn't it? But
I'm hearing that's meat.
All right, here, hold on, wait. One more time.
Yeah.
And that's me.
So imagine that sped up and the tone of that would be. But it's actually Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze.
Who said, like, something about being gorgeous and said, and that's me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I think it was actually an old NXT one. All right, so who
Prince
gets the last
Pretty.
One? Andrew gets
the last one.
All right, you're going to have to nail this one, dude, because it's actually 4-2 right now. All right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. And by the way, if you get both of them, I'll go ahead and say you get the tiebreaker. If you
Well, or you could just – this could be like a double count out and nothing was resolved today.
And then me and Andrew will spill Maurice's cocaine on her. Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
We're going to do. We're just going to bump
You're setting up the WrestleMania rematch is what we're doing.
All right, this is it, the final clue.
Preview.
All right, one more time.
Preview.
All right. You can hear the crowd noise come in at the very end of that.
I can hear that crowd noise.
All right, here. One more time for you, Andrew.
Preview.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Heel or face?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
You got to nail this one.
50, right?
I got to nail this.
God, I hope it's Kurt Hawkins.
I'm going to go with a face.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect, and my dog sounds like he's throwing up all of a sudden. All right.
Okay.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, he is. Okay.
It's not a face.
I'm having an Andrew moment now, apparently. I do have my mic working, but my dog is now throwing up.
Yeah, your dog is vomiting.
Yeah. The Reverend Buck says it's Zach Morris, and he's saying Bayview. Wasn't it Bayside?
All right, so unfortunately, this means, Andrew, that you cannot win, but I still want to hear your guesses on who you think this is.
All right, one more time.
You know it's a heel now.
Okay, now we know it's
a heel. It is heel Zach Morris. Hold on.
Preview.
Fandango.
Wow. All right. I mean, now you knew that Tyler Breeze was a possibility, but yeah. Unfortunately, no. It's not Fandango. Justin, do you have a guess here?
Heel, right?
Heel.
It says leave. It sounds like leave you.
Hmm.
Which means it's Natty Neidhart with her John. John is going to leave you.
Leave you.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's exactly the moment. Once your beauty fades, John is going to leave you.
Nice one, Justin. Nice one.
You really detected that one out there.
Oh,
that was,
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Slow-mo promo champion.
All right. Here's the good news, though, on this one. These were definitely difficult, so I'm glad we added in the heel face aspect of it so that people could actually score some points. But I like it being hard. The last time, it was too easy. It's I think really it got, like, it's almost really all
hard.
Of them, Justin.
It's so. Really, really hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that about wraps it up for the show. Of course, everybody, you can email in justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put wrestling in the subject line. Andrew, Mattman records every Thursday. You guys have an amazing community. Everybody should go ahead and join your Facebook group. Anything else that you want to get out there?
And you're going to be on it, I think, this week, right?
Yeah, I think we're doing a home and home. So me
home
and you.
Home and home, yeah. So Justin's on this week, Madman Podcast on Twitter, Andrew Zarian on Twitter. You can follow me, and we talk all things professional wrestling.
And by the way, an amazing follow on Twitter, especially during live events. Because
we kind of lose our minds during the live events, so we're constantly tweeting.
And the premier destination for comments about how. Hairy and tracksuit prone Eastern European men are.
Eastern European men are. We talk about feta cheese a lot. We're big on the Eastern European look.
Oh man, it is my that I always joke that's your fastball. That's the way to go. Whenever Rusev's out there, it's just a lot of joking about gold chains and tracksuits and hairy
chest.
Because
I grew up with that.
Yeah.
My grandfather was from Bulgaria, so I would walk home. I would get like 2 o'clock in the morning. I would wake up at home. I'm like a kid, and it smells like cigarettes and Dracar Noir. My entire house.
I just love it so much because nobody else is making these jokes. It is the Batman podcast. I'll be very happy to go back on. On Thursday, we do have one final thing that we like to do when we wrap up. But first, Dills, anything you want to get out there?
Well, the Dills Hearthstone League for my personal subs and patrons is all wrapped up as far as signups. But that means that this week we will start having matches on my channel. So I'm going to be casting a bunch of the featured matches from each week on there. So check out twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. All the Hearthstone matches between my highly contested subs and patrons for the Dills Hearthstone League Season 3 will be happening there. And also, I'll be streaming a lot all week, so check it out.
All right, well, on our way out the door, we always like to leave you all with our Melodica-themed challenge. We've had Trey Warren, the amazing Trey Warren, made up a bunch of Melodica themes, Melodica covers of famous theme songs. They're not good on purpose, and we want to... give you guys the brain teaser. Here's was last week's. Andrew, any guesses?
Yeah, our good old friend from Long Island, Mick Foley.
I believe that Mankind. That is indeed correct. That was Mankind's entrance. So here we go. Remember to @reply us on Twitter, @JustinRYoung and @WillyDills with your guesses. This is this week's Shitty Melodica Cover Challenge. I just the change, the change hitting the floor. Hold on.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Oh, absolutely perfect. All right, guys, 1-900 Wrestling. We'll be back next week. See you then.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.